Well, happy Thanksgiving. Did you have a good one? I heard some yes and no's. Hey, if you'll pull out your notes, today we're going to talk about how to reduce the stress of the season. Now, this last week, we all entered a new season. We started the holiday season as we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And we'll be celebrating Christmas in a few weeks. Now, let me tell you something about seasons. You already know this, but I'll draw your attention towards it. Every season has a few things that happen. One is every season typically has new episodes of joy that we can experience. But every new season also can bring along with it stress. And so today we're going to talk about how do you reduce the stress of the season. Now, one of the things I really like about this time of the year is the holiday music they play on the radio. Have you noticed how right after Thanksgiving, the radio stations, many of them start to play Christmas music and the holiday songs? I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I heard one of my favorite songs, Christmas songs, by Elvis Presley. So the song started playing, "I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue, just thinking about you." That's right, baby doll. Excuse me, I just pointed to a man right there. Excuse me.
Oh, I heard that song. I was like, oh, Christmas holiday songs. I love this time of the year. And so I was listening to the radio and have you noticed all the different styles of Christmas songs that are out there? I mean, there are so many different genres of Christmas music. I mean, you got rock bands that are doing Christmas songs. You got heavy metal bands, you know, doing Christmas songs. You got hip-hop and rap artists, you know, doing Christmas songs. Yo, yo, Jesus, you know, and doing that thing. There's even opera songs that are Christmas songs, opera songs. On your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. I can't believe you clapped. That's hilarious. I heard that song, I was like, wow, man, there is every style of, you know, every type of genre of Christmas songs. There's even country artists who've done Christmas songs, you know? Country music. I heard this one on the radio, I kid you not. Little baby, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. I am a poor boy too, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. I thought, oh, that is bad. I thought I wanted to sing back. You have no gift to sing, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. After I heard that, I said, man, anyone can write a Christmas song. I mean, Pastor Elwin could put a CD out. I was thinking about, man, everybody's doing Christmas songs. You know, but the one person I haven't heard do a Christmas song, Michael Jackson. Can you imagine Michael Jackson, you know, taking one of his songs and putting Christmas lyrics to it? You know? Jesus was born on Christmas Day. To show us what God likes. Woo! Keep up. And I don't stop now. Don't stop me again. Keep up. And I don't stop now. Don't stop me again. Thank you. Thank you very much. And that concludes our message today. God bless you. I
I can just hear it now.
Oh, so you go, you know, you're at work, you know, tomorrow. How was work? Oh, some weird howly pasta came. Weird, man.
Well, not only does the holiday season bring with it joys, but the truth is, the holiday season can bring with it additional stress. Have you thought about all the different activities we add to our life during this time of the season? I mean, think about the things that we do during this time of the year. During this holiday season, we say, hey, let's redecorate the entire inside and outside of the home with Christmas lights, Christmas tree, and all of our Christmas decorations. In fact, just by show of hands, how many of you have put your Christmas lights up already? All right, these are all the organized people right here. All right, by show of hands, how many of you leave your Christmas lights up all year long? We're going to pray for you after service. That is weird, man. All these different things we add to our schedule. During this holiday season, we spend hours in overcrowded malls searching high and low for first parking, and then second, for the perfect gift for our loved ones. Now, of course, unless you're a guy, you know, guys, ladies, guys don't like to shop. I mean, let me just be straight up. If you weren't aware of it yet, we don't like to shop. For us, Christmas shopping is longs on Christmas Eve. You know, like, I'll see you guys there.
Well, what am I going to get her? I'll take the lifesaver packet right there.
It's just crazy. In this holiday season, we decide to have or go to more parties than all the rest of the year combined. We just add to our schedule. And besides all the stuff I mentioned, we say this. Hey, honey, let's take a photo of the family and let's write a Christmas letter and let's send out a letter to all the people we know, whether we like them or not. You know? And then if that wasn't enough to add to our schedule, then right in the middle of this season, as if it was not crazy enough already, we say, let's let the kids out of school for 2 weeks. Whose idea was that? No wonder we typically have more stress during the holiday season. And the reality is these additional burdens can crowd out our joy. And you know what happens? We miss the purpose and the reason for this holiday season, which is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And so all these activities crowd that out. So that's why I wanted to talk about how do we reduce the stress of the season? How do we not miss what we've already entered into this season? Now, fortunately, Jesus summarizes the secret of stress management in a few sentences. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, he gives us the secret to stress management. And so we're going to take a look at some of the great words that Jesus shared with us to help us reduce our stress. So let's look at Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, and let's read this verse out loud together. Ready, go. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if you've been in Christian circles for some time or been around the church or read your Bible, you've probably heard this verse many times. This is a very widely quoted passage of Scripture. What does it mean, though? I mean, what does this Scripture mean? I mean, it talks about a yoke. It talks about burdens being light and easy. It's quite an amazing promise, but how do we apply it to our life? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tear apart this scripture, and I'm going to give you some practical steps that Jesus has given us in how we can reduce the season of the stress. Now, I want you to notice the first line in this verse. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and what? Burdened." Now, not only do we have the additional burdens of the holiday season, but many of us are already carrying with us the normal, common life burdens that can happen in our everyday lives. So what I've done here is I've put together some boxes which represent some of the common burdens that can cause us to become weary, they can cause us to become stressed. And so let's take a look at what some of these common life burdens are. The first one says what?
People.
People can be a burden. Now notice this is one of the biggest boxes on stage. You know why? Because of your in-laws. And if you brought your in-laws with you, your burden just got bigger because you laughed. It's going to be a long ride home. No, all kidding aside, one of the number one causes of stress in our lives comes from people. People we know, sometimes people we don't know. But one of the number one forms of stress that you and I will battle in life will come from people. Some of you have a wayward child. They've been hanging out with the wrong crowd and your child's been real rebellious. That can cause stress. Some of you have strife in your marriage or in a relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, son, daughter, auntie, uncle, you name it. That can cause stress. So people can be a burden. Let's take a look at the next burden. What's it say?
Work.
Now notice this is a big box as well. Work can be a burden. Difficult coworkers. Anybody got a difficult coworker you work with? Want to come share your story? That can be a burden. We can work for supervisors that have unrealistic expectations. That can be a stress. Some of you have gone through major changes on the job, and that's caused all kinds of stress to well up inside. That can be a burden. Some of you are out of work, and that's been a load for you to carry. Some of you, you're not in a job full time, but your work is your school. And during this time of the year, you got final exams coming up, term papers, group projects due. Can that be a burden? Sure. So we have work burdens. Let's take a look at the next one. What's it say?
Money.
Researchers say the number one cause of divorce in couples comes from couples arguing over financial issues. Money can cause enormous stress. When we mismanage money, some of you are probably, I would imagine a group this size, some of you are in this huge hole of debt, and you're trying to dig your way out of that debt, and it just feels like the black hole. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. That can be a burden. Some of you are out of work, and you're feeling the stress of not having an income. Some of you are living paycheck to paycheck. You're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. Some of you just got an unexpected bill. That can be a burden. So money can cause a lot of stress in our lives. Would you agree? And then this burden right here. What's it say?
Health.
Health burdens. Now I've noticed the older I get, I fight the battle of aging. I fight what I call the battle of the bees. Bulging, balding, and bifocals. Don't you laugh at my hairline.
He doesn't have a forehead, he has a five head.
Some of you just got that. Let's stop focusing on my hair. We have health burdens. Talk to somebody after service. Just been diagnosed with an abnormality in their kidney. The diagnosis. Some of you have been diagnosed with a disease recently, or you're waiting for the test results, or somebody in your family is in the hospital. Boy, that can cause stress. So we have health burdens that can be common life challenges. And then I added this last box, and what does it say?
Current
burden. I included this box because I knew there'd be some of you in here as I was going over the first boxes. You're going to say,
well, I don't have any of those burdens Pastor just mentioned. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You know what? If you don't have any burdens in your life, you're the burden. And this is the last time they're going to give me the mic. So what do we do with the holiday burdens and with the normal life burdens? What are we supposed to do with them? Just carry them and be stressed out? Well, Jesus gives us some great advice. When you're overburdened and worn out, this is the first step you need to do. Why don't you write this in your notes? The first thing to do is, number one, come to Christ. The Bible says the first step to overcoming weariness and overburden is to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you're worn out, if you're overloaded, come to me, and I will give you rest. Let's read the next verse in our notes. Let's read Matthew 11, 28 out loud. Ready? Go. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Would you underline the words, come to me? The first step to stress management is to come to Christ. Jesus says, come to me. Notice he doesn't say, come to the refrigerator when you are stressed out. He doesn't say, come to the movie theater when you're wigging. You know what? He doesn't even say, come to another Christian. You know why? Because none of those things work. When you are in need of soul rest, Jesus Christ is the only one who can give you soul rest. So he says, come to me. Come to me first. You turn to Jesus. When you are fatigued emotionally and mentally, what you and I really need is deep down soul rest. And only Jesus Christ can give you that. Now Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Is he talking about sleep? Well, the next scripture describes the kind of rest that he'll give us. Let's read Matthew 11, verse 29. Ready? Go. You will find rest for your souls. So Jesus says this, come to me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Now, what is soul rest? Soul rest is much deeper than physical rest. We need physical rest, but we also need soul rest. Some of you, you are overloaded in your mind from carrying fear and worry. You need soul rest. Some of you, you're overloaded from being emotionally drained, from carrying guilt and shame, from some poor decisions you've made. You need soul rest. When you come to Christ, he will give you rest for your souls. He'll give you release from worry and fear. He'll give you release from tension caused by regrets and guilt. He'll give you release from the stress caused by resentment and bitterness. That's soul rest. And isn't that what we're all wanting deep down? We want soul rest. So if you're worn out, if you're tired, if you're overloaded, you're overburdened, come to Christ and he'll give you rest for your soul. And what he's saying here is this. He's saying the antidote for your overloaded soul, catch this, is to be in a relationship with me. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, we've all noticed cars that have bumper stickers on the back of them. I've noticed many cars have Christian bumper stickers. I saw one recently, and the bumper sticker said, powered by Jesus. I was driving around another day. I saw one that said, life is short, pray hard. By the way, how many of you, by show of hands, have Christian bumper sticker on your car? Just raise your hand. Okay, I see. I'm not against Christian bumper stickers. I just don't have them on my car because I don't want people to know that Christians drive that way. I'm just playing. I got a New Hope Windward sticker on my car, all right? So relax, you know, don't send me an email.
Oh, Pastor, that word was over the line, brother. No, don't do that.
Years ago, before I became a believer, one of the most common bumper stickers I saw was the one that says, "Jesus is my Lord." You ever seen that one? Used to be around years ago. "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord." And I remember seeing it one day on the back of a car, and I wasn't a believer at the time. And I thought, "Jesus is my Lord? What does that mean?" I'm seeing this plastered on the back of cars. "Jesus is my Lord." What does "Jesus is my Lord" mean? Well, we don't live in a day and age where we have lords and ladies in America. We live in a democracy. So instead of using the word "Lord," we use the word CEO. Right? We use the word "president." We use the word "manager." When Jesus says he wants to be the Lord of your life, you know what he's saying? "I want to be your life manager. I want to be the president of your life. I want to be the CEO of your life. I want to be the Lord of your life." That's what it means when Jesus says he wants to be our Lord. When Jesus shared this scripture, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," you know, he was talking to a group of people who were overburdened by the Pharisaical laws and burdens placed upon them. And they couldn't live up to those expectations. And so Jesus was essentially saying to the group, he was saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened from the rules and regulations." He was saying, "I want a relationship with you. I'm not into rules and regulations and rituals. I want a one-on-one personal relationship with you. And I want to be your life manager." Of all the things I say today, get this. This is so important. Catch this. The key to reducing the stress in your life is to allow Jesus Christ to be your life manager, the Lord of your life. Where you let God be boss, where you say, "God, you call the shots in my life. You call the shots in my relationships. I'm going to do what you tell me to do in my relationships. God, I'm going to invite you into my job. I'm going to invite you to my business meetings. I'm going to invite you into phone calls with customers. I'm going to allow you to be my CEO. I'm going to work for Jesus Incorporated. Yeah, I might work for another company, but ultimately you're my boss. God, I'm gonna start managing my money the way you have outlined for me to manage my money in the owner's manual for life, your written word. And I'm gonna start managing my money according to your biblical principles. Your principles on saving, your principles on borrowing, your principles on giving. I'm gonna let you call the shots in my finances." And so on and so forth. And Jesus says, when you allow him to do that, you will find rest for your soul. You'll find release from stress, release from the tension, release from the burden of carrying so many of these common life burdens. Now, folks, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know what it's all about? Ultimately, it's all about us getting to know Jesus Christ as our life manager. That's it. And I don't want us to miss that this season. I don't want myself to get so wrapped up in all the busyness of life's burdens and miss the very purpose for which we're celebrating this season. And that is to allow Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior. So, the starting point for reducing stress is to, number one, let's say it out loud, come to Christ. Very good. Once you've done that, you're ready for the next step. And that is to, number two, would you write this in your notes? Give up control. Give up control. I just saw some elbows. Now, most of us don't see ourselves as controlling people, do we? But I guarantee you, some of your family members see you differently. We don't see ourselves as controlling. However, one of the primary reasons why we get so overloaded is because we think we have to be in control of everything. We think, man, I got to make sure that everything happens here. If it's to be, it's up to me. I got to make sure all my ducks are in a row. I got to make sure that ball is still rolling. I've got to, in other words, control everything. Now listen carefully.
The greater your need to control things, the more your life is going to be prone to overload and stress. You see, when we try to control everything, we become weary. You want to know why? We were never made to be our own personal life manager. And when we try to control everything, that's what we're doing. We're trying to take control of all of these burdens right here. I say, I got to control it all. And that will lead us to weariness and overburden because we were never designed to carry all of these things on our own strength, on our own power, on our own wisdom. Notice Jesus' antidote. He says, once you come to Christ, then you give up control to him. Let's read Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Would you circle the word yoke? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Now, most of us didn't grow up on farms, so let me explain what a yoke is to bring more understanding to this scripture. I'm going to show you a few pictures here up on the screen, and I'll show you what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden beam, and it attaches two oxen together. And they're joined together so that they can partner up and lighten the load that they're carrying. They end up working together as a team. Take a look at the next slide. So there you see a picture of two oxen yoked together. Now the purpose of the yoke is to make it easier for the animal to pull the cargo. When they're working together, they can pull more because the load is halved and they're sharing. And so the burden that they're carrying becomes lightened. So that's what a yoke is. Now take a look at the next scripture and then I'll explain this in more detail. Let's read Matthew 11, 30 out loud. Ready? Go. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now let me explain what this word easy is. The word in Greek is Christos. And what that means is, it means perfectly fitted. And so this Jesus is saying, my yoke, the burdens that I have for your life fit you well. He's saying the tasks and the life that I give you are made to fit you perfectly. Whatever God asks you to do is made to fit your needs and your abilities. So his yoke fits perfectly. Now I'm a visual learner, and so let me help you wrap your arms around this yoke concept. I'm going to do a visual illustration. I asked Pastor Rod Shimabukuro if he would come help me. Would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Rod? All right. This is representative of a yoke. It's not a real yoke, but it's representative of one. So, Rod, put this yoke on.
Okay, Dave.
All right. Now, in order for you to understand the scripture, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So I want you to imagine that Rod is Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Let me make it easier for you. Let's pretend he's an ox.
Oh, you funny, Dave. You're such a yoker.
Bruh, the yoke is on you.
That's a bad yoke.
Ah! Can I get another volunteer to help me instead of Rod? Okay. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So you come in and you yoke up with Jesus. Now, the yoke is a symbol of partnership. You partner up with him, where he is your life manager. Now, whenever you see two oxen together, you always have a lead ox and you have a following ox. All right, so let's yoke up to these burdens. Follow me, Jesus. I didn't say choke me, Jesus. All right, so take my yoke upon you. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because you're both carrying the load. See that? Ah.
So Jesus wants to be our life manager. Now, every time you yoke to Christ, your stress levels will go down. Now, you need to catch this. Believers, Christians, can unyoke themselves from Christ. And what we can do is when Jesus asks us to go a certain direction, we say, Lord, I don't want to forgive that person who wronged me on the job. So I'm going to hold on to that unforgiveness. And we unyoke ourselves because we don't allow God to call the shots in our life as our life manager. And then we start to carry that people burden again. And all of a sudden, what happens? We get overburdened and stressed. Why? We were never meant to carry these burdens alone. Get it?
Got it.
Good. You guys know how to do that. Oh, hey, I like that. Cool. My church knows how to do that. You guys do too. Okay. So instead of unyoking yourself from Christ and increasing your stress levels, what do? You re-yoke and you partner up with Christ together. Now notice, when you're yoked with Christ, you are close to Him. You are side by side with Him. Now remember, He's the lead ox. So don't try to get ahead of Him. But this is what we want to do. You know, we want to... I need another Jesus. not you, Lord. That's Him. So we get ahead, or we get behind. If your relationship with Christ is real casual and He's trying to move you ahead, then you're just getting dragged along and the relationship is not comfortable because it's too casual. You need to be in step with Him. Does that make sense? Where your ear is close to His ear and you can hear Him in the direction you're leading. You can follow the pace that He's setting as your life manager. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Can we thank Rod for helping us out? So, let's bring this point home. Where do you need to give up control in? What do you need to give up control in? Maybe some of you are in a relationship and you need to choose to forgive someone who wronged you. Do they deserve it? Probably not. Does Christ command us to do that? Yes. Will you experience soul rest when you choose to forgive them? Yes. Choose to forgive them, and you'll find rest for your souls. Perhaps some of you need to give up control in your finances because that burden is so heavy right now. Give God control of your finances. Will your finances change overnight? Maybe. But my guess is you didn't get into debt overnight. You probably won't get out of debt overnight. But once you start managing your money God's way, I'm telling you, because I made this transition years ago. Oh, man, the number one stress I used to carry in my life, of course, relationships, but it was finances. I used to stress about money. But once I yoked up to Christ and allowed Him to call the shots in my finances, my burden was lightened so much. For some of you, maybe you need to give up control in your job. And I have no doubt that some of you in a group this size, you've been thinking about quitting your job. And let me just caution you. Make sure God has not called you to be at that job if you're going to quit. Because if He's called you to that job, the yoke is going to fit you perfectly. It's a burden that He will help you carry. And so don't bail out on the job unless you know that God has not called you to that job. Seek some wise counsel. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Bounces off of some mature believers and make sure that you're making the right decision. All right? So what do you need to give up control in? Can I encourage you to do so? Because when you do, you'll find rest for your soul. All right. So how do we manage our stress? Number one, we come to Christ. Number two, we give up control. And number three, would you write this in your notes? Learn to trust. This is the third key to stress management. We learn to trust Jesus as the leader of our life. This is so important, folks. Once you come to Christ, Learning to give up control and learning to trust Him are the secrets of stress reduction. I'm telling you, that's it. If you catch that, you will start having reduced stress levels. Let's read Matthew 11:29. Let's read this out loud. Ready? Begin. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now notice what's underlined. Jesus says what? Learn from me. Well, what can we learn from him? Well, he tells us, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, what does it mean to be humble in heart? Think about that. He says, learn to be humble. You know what that means? Jesus was totally dependent on the Father. He totally depended on the Father. He trusted the Father. He was dependent upon him. If you're going to learn, and if I'm going to learn to be humble in heart, we have to learn to trust him. Now, let me say this. Learning takes time. Especially in this area of learning to trust. You see, those habits of a hurried, worried lifestyle, they didn't just start in our lives yesterday. We've had years to perfect the habit of worry, of being stressed, of being overscheduled. And so in order to learn to trust, we have to unlearn some of those habits. And that takes time. But with Christ's help as your life manager, oh, you can learn to trust him. And you watch, when you learn to trust him, your stress levels will reduce. So be open to that and practice unlearning some of those hurry-scurry habits of rushing around and being stressed and worrying and carrying those burdens all on your own. And allow him to teach you to unlearn some things. Some of you know I used to work for a large international company here in Hawaii for several years, and God blessed me with a great career. I was blessed with all the perks that go along with my responsibilities of being the general manager of a multi-million-dollar pest control company. And God had blessed me with a real generous salary and compensation package. I had stock options, a company car, a personal expense account. And I traveled all around the world in this job. Of course, we had branches on the outer islands, so I went to all the outer islands, and we had branches here on Oahu. And I traveled to third world countries and just went around. And because of the role, the company really treated us well. So almost everywhere we stayed, it was like five-star hotel. I mean, they just treated us like royalty in this position. Well, God then asked me to resign in my career of almost 10 years. And he asked me to go into full-time ministry. And I'll never forget the day that I resigned. I was in our corporate offices in Pearl City. And I had written my resignation letter explaining how God was asking me to resign and go into full-time ministry. And I called my boss. He was in Memphis, Tennessee, because that's where our corporate headquarters were. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Lou, would you go stand by the fax machine? Because I'm going to send an important document. And I want to be sure that you're the first one who gets this. And once you get this, would you give me a call?" He says, "Well, what are you sending?" I said, "Oh, just wait. Just once you get it, give me a call." So I remember I walked over to the fax machine in that Pearl City office. And this was my resignation letter. And I remember placing it down on the fax machine. And I knew once I send this document and my boss gets a hold of it, that in at least in the company I worked for, if you give any indication that you're going to leave the job, they usually will expedite your leaving. And so I remember I was dialing that long distance number to Memphis. I pressed the start button on the fax machine, and I watched that fax document go in down the fax machine. And all of a sudden, as it was moving down the fax machine, a song popped in my head. "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." True story. And so, document fell on the ground. I called my divisional vice president. I said, "Did you get it?" He said, "Yeah." "Now, what's this all about?" I said, "Well, Lou, God has made it abundantly clear in this last year that he's calling me into full-time ministry. And so I need to give my notice." He said, "Wow, I'm glad you called me." He said, because on Thursday, this was a Monday, he said, on Thursday I was going to call you and offer you a promotion to become the divisional vice president of the largest region in the company, along with a generous compensation package. I said, come again? I didn't do that. I didn't. I was like, oh, wow. Wow, thanks, Lou. I said, oh, thank you, but sorry. I know what God is calling me to do, and I've got to follow him. So I gave my 30 days notice, transitioned out of the company, came on staff here full-time with Wayne and the awesome group of people here. And then shortly after that, the Lord called me to New Hope Windward, and I've been there 5 years this month. And you know, people have asked me, was it hard giving up all the perks of that job? And you know what? My response has always been the same. No, it hasn't. And they often look at me with that kind of deer in the headlight look like, huh? It's true. And then I just say, you know what? Since I've come to Christ and he's become my life manager, you know, I had to give up control to him. And I've been learning to trust him. And you know what? It's been the greatest blessing of my life. I've never looked back and wanted to go back there. You know, since I've come to Christ, it has been the greatest adventure of my life. Now, I will be totally frank with you. It has also been very challenging. Giving up control to God and learning to trust him is challenging. And I'll tell you, I still am learning it. I practiced what I'm talking about today. I practiced it this last week. I started getting stressed and I said, whoop, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I come to you again. I turn to you, Jesus. I give up control once again. I'm going to learn to trust you in this. Lord, thank you. Some of you, you're at the point of overload. You know what you need to do? Come to Christ. Give up control and learn to trust him. And he'll give you rest for your soul. So what burden did you come in here with today? How should you respond? Come to Christ. Give up control and learn to trust him. And when you and I do that, God promises to give us rest for our soul. And you know what? He'll also reduce the stress of the season that you're in. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Thanks for letting me share.
Message spoken from the Lord through his heart to yours. It's a great way of just beginning this stressful season that we're in. But if you trust in the Lord, he'll work wonders in your life. Let's stand together. You know, some of you might be saying, well, how do we do that? How do we really just give up control? It's not going to be easy. Yeah, it'll take some time. How do we do that? Well, it really begins by you coming to Christ. And what Pastor Dave said is so true. It doesn't mean, you know, if you're a non-Christian and you come to Christ, it doesn't mean once you become a believer that you don't walk away. You do walk away at times. And it's time that we return. Let's start it. Let's start right now. Begin it right now. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your word and how your message speaks so clearly to our hearts. And Father, sometimes we come with different expectations, different burdens. Sometimes we come through an invitation of a friend or a family member. But Lord, we know that it was through your Holy Spirit that worked through our hearts to bring us here this morning, to hear a message that will change and transform our lives. Father, we do indeed want to begin to give up control of the things that are really burdening us and holding us back from the very best that you have for us. We really want to trust in you. And Father, it's about time that we really start to come to you, Lord, to come to your feet, to lay the burdens at the foot of your cross, and to allow you to take control now. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to begin this season trusting fully in you. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, no one's looking around. I'm going to ask you, how many of you this morning have not yet opened up your heart to Jesus Christ and made him your Lord and Savior? How many of you this morning have been wondering for a while, maybe controlling your life or trying to for a while, and you've just found yourself at dead ends? How many of you have been trusting in others more than you've been trusting in God? This morning, I want to give you a chance to open your heart up to Jesus Christ. If this morning you want Him to become your life manager, that you want Him to begin to control the things in your life, to give you the instructions that you need, if you want to begin to trust in Him and Him alone, you've never yet done so, you want to do that right now, would you just raise a hand by saying, by doing so, you're saying, yes, I want to trust in God. Yeah, go ahead and raise your hands. Those of you who have not yet given your heart over, great. In the middle, lots of hands going up. Start it today. Don't wait any longer. Time gets short here. Hands in the back there, great, good. God bless you. The Lord sees your hands back there too. Put your hands down. How many of you are here and would say that I'm a Christian? I've been walking with the Lord for a while, but I too have walked away from Him. I need to come back to Christ. I need to trust Him, really trust Him. And not just say that I do so, but really put my heart over the line. Give up control of the things that I've been working on in my life. I need to do it. I'm going to start today. If that's you, would you raise a hand? By doing so, you're asking the Lord to help you through this season. Yeah, a lot of us go through that. Put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time this morning, I'm going to ask you, as you leave the service, people are going to be holding up a yes packet. Just go ahead and pick one up. It's completely free. It's our gift to you in this season. It has a free Bible, has some follow-up material in there. Just go up to anyone holding up this yes packet. Tell them you just said yes to Jesus this morning, and they'll be glad to give one of these to you. But before we go, can we say this prayer together? I'll say the words. You repeat it with all of your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins. I come to you. I give you control of everything in my life. I trust in you. Help me to be all that you've designed me to be. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around me can hear, so you can hear, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. Help us now to leave differently from when we came, rejoicing in your ways. We live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Let's welcome those who said yes for the first time.
Thanks for listening. If you were touched by this message, there are many more great resources available to you. Click onto our website at enewhope.org. From our New Hope family to you, aloha.